Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Man, the name says it all. If you're rocking with us, make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Or if you're checking us out on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button so you can get alerted of all our great content right away. While you're at it, hit us with a like and a comment. Now, let's get to this awesome show. First quarter, straight out the gate, opening kickoff. It's time for our school check-in. Yo, that school check-in hit real good after a win. I mean, it was like a nail biter. It had you really sweating. It was like watching the movie, not knowing exactly how it's going to end. But guess what, Viking fans? It ended well for you all. Pat P, big time win against the Carolina Panthers. But before we tap into the Panthers recap, unfortunately, Pat P, breaking news today. He goes on injured reserve, has to miss at least 3 games. Saw the play. I saw you go down. I'm like, dang. Then I shot you a text at the end of the game. Like, you good? You're like, yeah, I think it's just a little cramp. I'm like, you sure? You're like, yeah, sore. Unfortunately, I guess MRI said otherwise. Talk about the injury, Pat P. Exactly, you know, what's going on with you?
Pulled my hammy.
Yeah.
Pulled the hammy. In the play, it was fourth quarter, first down, coming out of the timeout, backed up. DJ just ran a go. And I honestly, I felt I was cramping going into that drive coming off the sideline because it started like in my calf. Mm-hmm. That's why I kind of thought it was cramping because I didn't feel a pop or anything. I just felt like that. And it was like that last stride because once I recognized the route that he was going for a go, now I'm trying to, you know, get into high gear and look back for the ball. But as soon as I went to look back for the ball, my hammy said, mm-mm. So honestly, I had kind of positioned pretty good because as soon as it grabbed, I was honestly thinking about getting the PI.
Yeah, yeah, because you didn't know exactly where he was. You didn't want to catch him and catch it in stride.
Positioned pretty good to at least kind of disrupt him from catching the ball.
Yeah.
You know, versus, you know, having him catch the ball freely. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was like my thought process going through the route after I felt like it was a cramp at the time, not knowing the severity of the injury.
Yeah. You know,
I arrived this morning. But it gave on me. And then why I thought it was cramps too, because like my back started locking up, my stomach started cramping.
Mm-hmm.
Other leg was cramping up, so I'm like, get me inside. I said, I think it's just a body cramp. Get me inside, give me some IVs. I think I'm gonna be all right.
Yeah.
IVs obviously wasn't enough.
No question. You know, when I saw it, because that's what I instantly thought it was, but then you kind of made me feel a little better when he was like, I think it was just some cramps. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah. Of course it was otherwise. Man, the thing about Pat P, the luxury that Pat P has had, he's never missed a game because of injury. Unfamiliar territory for my guy right now. But what is this feeling like? Like, you know, for the very first time in your career, you will miss a game because of injury.
Yeah, man, it was like the first time, you know, when the docs told me that, you know, that I felt like, you know, I've been stabbed in my heart. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, and this morning, honestly, I kind of felt that because I told my wife, I was like, man, like, this is the worst I've ever felt. Like,
hamstrings is
before. Like, I'm saying, like, I couldn't sleep last night.
That hamstring series.
I couldn't do nothing, bro.
I'd rather have a sprained ankle, severely sprained ankle.
She's very hopeful. She's like, oh, no, I don't think it's that. I'm like, babe, I'm telling you. Like, I'm telling you, like, this is different. Like, this is different. Like, I ain't never feel this before. I can barely walk. Yeah. I can't even, like, bend down to, like, stretch my knees if I wanted to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know the feeling. I told my
man. And I'm like, I think it's serious, man. Like, I'm telling you, I think it's something serious. So then, you know, being hopeful, thinking that, you know, it would be, like, something minor. Mm-hmm. And then the doctor told me that, you know, I'm going to miss it, like, a month. I was like, this never, I never had this conversation before. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was tough. And I ain't gonna lie. It was real tough receiving that news this morning. But you know, me in my mind, I'm thinking like, nah, hell with that. Like I know I'm gonna get some good treatment. You know, yeah. I know I'm gonna go. I'm literally gonna be rehabbing around the clock.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm. You know, every athlete feel like they're different.
No question. Are you gonna get in your chamber, the hyperbaric chamber?
I got home. I was in that sub for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I was in that sub for 3 hours, yo. I was literally watching Dallas. That's what I was watching Dallas film, you know.
So you already watching Dallas film even though you're gonna miss that Cowboys game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Because at the end of the day, I still got an obligation to get my guys ready. You know,
no question. I like hearing that. That's dope.
My position, you know what I mean? So I have to make sure that he's ready. You know, I think it's gonna be Cam. So, you know, I'm still studying, like I'm preparing. You know what I mean?
I like that.
I feel like that's what's going to keep me in the game, and that's what's going to help the rehab go easier. Because at the same time, you know, I'm still preparing for a season. Like I still got football to play. You know, in that routine, and that's just, you know, something that, you know, I want to do and still be there for my teammates. So that's my whole thought process right now, going through this and hearing that news. That was my first thought when they told me that, you know, I'm going to go on IR, you know, for these 3 weeks, you know, your valuable access to this team, you know, we're going to need you for the run, you know, and, you know, hearing that, you know, it kind of made me feel more at ease, you know, knowing, like Dalvin said, you know, how the team values me.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, just want to put myself and the team in the best position possible by being smart and being ready for the Green Bay game.
No question. And the games that you are slated to miss right now, Cowboys, Ravens, and the Chargers game at minimum. Also, too, the bye week came at an ideal time for you. You know what I mean? Some of the guys that are dealing with some nagging injuries because you get a chance to really an extra week, you know what I mean, to rehab, you know, try to get yourself together. And you're not necessarily playing a game this week, so you're not missing any games. So that's the one plus that you have right now based on the schedule. Concerning the horrible news that happened that you received this morning. So do everything the doctors tell you to do, plus more. You got your chamber. I know you're going to be sleeping in this studying film, but I love hearing you already watching film like you're going to play because you still want to be able to feed as much information to some of the other guys that will be playing your position as possible because you went in to win it, even though you won't have a jersey on this Sunday. You in it to win it next Sunday, I mean. So that's dope. Leadership, all right? Now it's time for that Panthers recap. Boy, 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 boy. One thing about Minnesota, they know how to make things tough. They know how to make, if you're watching the Vikings and you're cheering for the Vikings, they got a way of making you sweat it out. I don't know if you're going to get, ladies, if you got your hair done, don't get it done on Sunday or Saturday because you might sweat it out. Guys, you know, if you got some good hair going, you might go bald sometimes watching the Vikings, but I can tell you this much, they're going to make it interesting and entertaining, and they're going to have you going up and down, emotional roller coasters. The Vikings beat the Panthers 34-28 in overtime, thanks to a walk-off touchdown by your guy, KJ Osborne. Check this out. The Vikings had 571 yards of offense on Sunday, third most in franchise history. They outgained the Panthers by 265 yards. Yo, Pat P, the defense was balling. Balling. Five of the six Viking games have been one possession ball games. Dalvin Cook returned from injury, rushed for 140 yards. He will be on the episode that we will drop this Thursday. So Viking fans, Florida State fans, South Florida football fans, Dalvin Cook will be on this episode that we're dropping Thursday. So make sure you tune in. Now for you, Pat P, were you able to see some of the action, especially in overtime? With you being out with that injury, and you said you went into the locker room trying to get an IV, but were you able to see what was going on in overtime?
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. They had the TV on in the locker room, but the drive, you know, the drive that I missed, I wasn't able to see. I was just able to hear it the whole time, as far as like the reaction of the stadium. So
yeah,
you know, I'm in the locker room getting the IV. It's quiet in there. The game is on in the locker room, but I'm in the training room. And you just hear the crowd going crazy. And I'm like, God damn, like, you know, what's going on? Then Roach, one of our equipment, I mean, trainers came in. They's like, yeah, they just scored. Now they're going for two, this, that, and the other. So now we're going into overtime. So I'm like, oh, I got to get up. So this at the time I'm thinking about is it's still cramps.
Oh, you were trying to get it back in the fire.
I got to get up. My squad DB. So I started walking. I got off the table. I started walking. So now, you know, as when you think it's cramp, you want to start stretching. Man, I tried to touch my toes, Mac. I said, oh, no. I said,
that's what you thought.
I said, I can't go.
You can't go. You can't cover nobody out there feeling like that.
I haven't been a sitting duck out there, man. Better for me to be staying right here where I'm at in this locker room. But now I'm watching it. So, because like I said, now I'm trying to convince myself I can get back in the game. So now I'm making my way to the locker room door, but the TV's on right there. So I'm looking at it. We win the coin toss. We get the Western name. So now I'm kind of at ease because, like you said,
offense on the field.
Yeah, the offense on the field. They've been rolling. You know, minus, you know, like we talked about closing out the game early on in the show, or whatever. But I was pretty confident. So I see them with the ball, moving the ball down. I had a couple of nice carries. We hit the tight end on the first play. Tyler wide open. You know, any big play, first play out of, in overtime.
Like, it's huge.
Yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, we really good now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Then Captain Kirk continued to do his thing. Hit KJ on I think it was an out route. He scored. And man, I was just so excited. And I saw the ball come. I was like, oh, what happened? Yeah. I said, bro, please say this. So then they ended up doing that. Sam was good.
Yeah.
And going through the tunnel and waiting all the guys to come in and congratulating them on a good win. But you ain't lying. I was definitely I was nervous too. I was like, man, no, man, this can't be happening again, man. There's no way. We should be in this predicament. Almost about to lose this game.
Question. I mean, your offense had their way against a real good Panthers defense. Your defense had their way. Yeah, their Panthers defense was balling. I mean, Sam Darnold was struggling, getting sacked. You know, and that has been the storyline the majority of the games for Minnesota. Why has it been a struggle to close out games and to win them?
Just finding ways to get the ball in the right guy's hand, calling the right play in certain situations. Like I said, I think, you know, now I'm pretty much having all the guys together, you know, having that continuity, still being early on in the year, trying to see what we can and can't get away with. You know, I know that may sound kind of weird and odd, but, you know, that's just my assumption. You know, trying to figure out what we can and can't get away with early on in the year, you know, seeing what having, you know, putting some things on tape, maybe seeing what bit us in the butt, knowing that we can't do that in this situation. And, you know, that's honestly what, you know, football is all about. You know, you learn from certain situations. So if you're in that situation, you want to be able to, you know, come out on top. So,
yeah,
you know, I think now being in those situations, having opportunity to 2 weeks in a row to close out games, not really, you know, closing them out the way we wanted to. Having this bye week comes at a perfect time, and that give our coaching staff a great opportunity to, you know, have that 6 week observation of the team, of play calling, of players, you know, et cetera, you know, from top to bottom. So this is an important week as an organization moving forward and seeing how we can grow from the first 6 weeks of the season.
And defensively, man, you guys had 4 sacks. The first play of the game was a really good moment for Breshad Breeland intercepting Sam Darnold. That was huge. Sam only had 207 yards throwing, running the football, didn't do a lot. And you, my friend, was in your bag before the injury, you know, matched up a lot against their outstanding wide receiver and DJ Moore. And all in all, man, you won that battle for four quarters. He caught, you know, a few passes here or there, a man beater, as we like to call it in football terminology, defensive back terminology.
Hey, Coach K to the side, I say, man, I'm sorry, Pete, because we normally don't run like that type of coverage. You know, in the distance. He was like, man, I'm sorry, Pete, we went to the well one too many times.
Hey, but all right, that,
God damn it, don't do it again.
No question, especially in that situation where you know the offense is going to run a man beater. And listeners and viewers, when we say man beater, offensively, they do a great job in strategizing, studying their opponent, not just the individual players, but the play callers. And the same can be said for defensive play callers studying offensive play callers. In certain situations of a ball game, third down situations, offensively, they're going to call, if they know you like to run a man coverage in a third and five set, third and six, between third and five and 38, you know what, defensively, they love to rely on man-to-man. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to call an offensive play that's going to beat a man coverage. That's what we call man beaters. So you will see a lot of rub routes. You will see a lot of stack routes from wide receivers, and they're trying to confuse the defenders. And rub routes are the best way to beat man coverage. Running underneath routes where guys got to fight through the traffic. You know what I mean? You got to allow someone to get run in front of you first, and then now you're chasing. Those are what we call man beaters. So in certain situations, guys, when you watching football, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whatever the case may be, situationally speaking, they will call things based on what they think they will get from the defense. And that's why we say man beater. That's a man beater. You know what I mean? It happens. But all in all, number seven was in his bag. Number seven had a heck of a game. Once again, been quietly doing a great job. And what I mean when I say quietly, you're not getting the targets to be able to come down with the huge interceptions and stuff like that, but you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that's all that matters. Now, at the bye week evaluation, it's been a very, very emotional year so far for Minnesota, but you guys are 3-3. Mm-hmm. And the unique thing about where you're currently located at in your division, you're still right there with the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay only have one loss. I think Chicago, they're tied. They're 3-3 as well. They just lost to Green Bay. And the Lions are, heck, y'all just had the head coach crying last week, and he just called out Jared Goff this past week for losing. So they're just going all the way in the wrong direction. Yeah. You're still right there in your division. So this is, you talked about how important this bye week is and coming off the bye with some momentum. Man, you still have everything in front of you that you would like to achieve. And now with you not being a part of the team physically, you know, emotionally, vocally, you got to be there to help these guys get ready. Because when you come back, man, this ship could definitely be rolling in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, coming out of this bye week, like I said, it's going to be big for us. You know, I think it's came at the right time, winning two ball games, going into the bye week, definitely gained some momentum. You know, not having much of it at the beginning of the year, definitely give you an opportunity to feel good about yourself. And we got some coming out of this bye. We got some tough ball games. You know, we got some playoff teams that we're going to have opportunity to play and see what we're made of. You know,
yep.
Starting with the Cowboys, then you got the Ravens who's playing, you know, almost, you know, the top hottest three teams in the league is, you know, Cowboys, Ravens, and the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, we got our hands full, and I definitely wish I was there to be able to match up against some of their great talented receivers that both of those teams have as well. And then you got, you know, you got to travel out to LA,
mm-hmm.
young, you know, talented team out there as well. That's competing and scratching and clawing in every football game as well. So these next three games, then when I come back, we got Green Bay,
you know. Mm-hmm.
This stretch right now is going to, after the bye week, is going to be very, very important for us. You know,
no question.
Set up where we want to be by at the end of the season. You know, I think this is definitely a part of our schedule that can get us prepared to get this team in position to win some games, and not only in throughout these tough games, but you know, preparing ourselves for the future as far as, you know, hopefully winning some games in the playoffs.
No doubt, no doubt, no doubt. It's going to really get sticky. That's what you made for. Now it's time for Around the League. Now, this Around the League segment is a little different than what we usually do here on the show. We usually attack news coming from the NFL, but this was big-time surprising news coming from college football. Coach O is out at LSU after this season. Pat P., how surprised were you hearing Coach Orgeron is now, will – be coaching his final season there in Baton Rouge?
Man, I was very surprised. As an organization like LSU, you know, being in the winning circle and having high glory games and glory wins over the past couple of years, and not having that over the last 2 years, it's been kind of tough for them to see. But I think Ed is a great coach. Just been bit with a couple of tough years, having the COVID year last year, having a lot of guys not able to play. Then this year, still a lot of uncertainties about bringing in new coaching staff, all you got, your defensive coordinators leaving, so you have to be able to get the right defensive coordinator back in there. A lot of injuries you're dealing with, it's just a lot that goes into this. But one thing I can say is, man, he loved his job. He loved getting guys up, geared up to play a football game. You can tell that coaching is his passion, not really having the opportunity to spend some extensive time with him, but the time that I was able to be around him and see how he conduct himself with other people, see how he has a relationship with all his players, just how genuine, he is to others. The guys, he's a real genuine guy. And he, like I said, he really, really loved coaching football. I just think it was just a tough decision for them to make, at the time. Mm-hmm. Who you want to bring in? Obviously LSU is a top college in college football, so you got to bring somebody in with a winning pedigree and that's ready to get it back to what you want it to be. So it's going to be an interesting job search, but I'm sorry to see Coach O go. He did all he could with what he had there at LSU, and I'm happy he was able to win a championship there because it's been a while since we got one. So,
yeah, I mean, 2019. Yeah, 2019 won a championship, but since then he's been 9-8. Other reasons for change outside of production. Now, listen, I was surprised to hear this news because they just beat Florida at home 49-42 with so many key players not in the lineup. Yeah. I mean, I think it was like double-digit players that didn't play for whatever reason. But you still won that ball game against Florida. But, say reports of issues with culture within the program, mishandling of social injustice initiatives last summer, and inability to get along with assistants, tougher practices, implementation of drug testing, all led to this unexpected news that we just heard regarding Coach O at LSU. Who should they consider, Pat P, to be the next coach? You got anybody, any names, any idea who you might like to see on the sideline?
Yeah, I really don't have like a coaching hat.
Mm-hmm.
No real names I can just think of right now.
I got some for you.
Ooh, tell me. Yeah, you always do.
I mean, LSU been trying to get this one particular coach for such a long time, and that's Jimbo. Right now, I don't know if Jimbo going anywhere because he just got a whole new contract. Jimbo getting paid like $100 million at A&M. Man, A&M has the most money out of any.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. I wouldn't mind saying Jimbo, but Jimbo ain't going nowhere.
Nah, Jimbo ain't going nowhere. What about Luke Fickell is doing a real good job at Cincinnati. James Franklin at Penn State. Bob Stoops. Dave Aranda, who was the DC.
He had Baylor.
Joe Brady, offensive coordinator for Carolina. Remember, he was there in 19 when they won the championship.
Oh.
Mel Tucker, doing a great job at Michigan State. I don't know if you're going to do Lane Train down at Mississippi.
Lane ain't coming.
I think Dave Aranda could be a guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what he getting paid at Baylor, but that's an upgrade going to LSU from Baylor.
Yeah.
I'll say my top three would be Dave Aranda, James Franklin. I mean, Bob Stoops' name could be in that hat as well. But my top three would be James Franklin, Dave Aranda, or Mel Tucker.
Mm. I like that.
Yeah. We got. And what about what's the DB coach that's been there forever? What's his name? Corey Raymond? Is he still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
That might be a name to monitor as well, because I know he's a great recruiter, well respected. Huh?
I said that he is.
Great recruiter. He was well respected, and he's done a great job in keeping those DBs in line. So Corey Raymond is another name I think people might need to pay attention to. If you LSU, I mean, the guy seems like he's LSU through and through. So why wouldn't he get a shot?
He is.
Now it's time for our weekly award, the All Things Covered Award. We're dishing out two awards weekly for those that live up to our show name. And guess what? They got all things covered. This week, defensively, T.J. Watt. Sunday night football, T.J. Watt against the Seattle Seahawks was a nightmare. 7 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, 3 pass deflections, and he had the forced fumble to win the ball game. T.J. Watt has been an unbelievable player. Clearly the best player on the Steelers, one of the best defensive players in all of the NFL. Defensive Player of the Year award right now, he has the 4th best odds. Myles Garrett is number 1 plus 400. Trayvon Diggs, who also had another interception and a return for a touchdown, plus 450. Aaron Donald plus 650. And T.J. Watt plus 700. I mean, at this rate, T.J. probably will continue to add to those numbers. So you want to roll a dice, put something on T.J. to win Defensive Player of the Year, plus 700 is the odds right now. You might want to take it. Offensively, your former teammate, Arizona Cardinals, Kyler Murray, put up 37 points on the Browns to remain unbeaten, 6-0. Kyler had 4 passing touchdowns. Currently, he's in the MVP conversation. He's the favorite. Your former teammate as well, DeAndre Hopkins, who we had on the show last year, 2 receiving touchdowns. That offense has been rolling. Kyler Murray looks like he's in a groove right now offensively, man. I know you haven't really seen a lot from them, but you prepare for them, man. What have you seen from Kyler Murray that has been different than what you saw in person from him a year ago?
Definitely able to pick up the blitzes, recognize the blitzes that come and get the ball out of his hand quick. Being able to read the field a little bit better, having a better understanding of the offense. You know, you can just tell he's in the comfort zone right now. And it's a beautiful thing to watch, you know, to see those guys rolling, seeing some of my ex-teammates doing, you know, out there balling, doing that they've been doing this year. There's they got a pretty good team top to bottom, you know, far as, you know, on the opposite side of the ball with Kyler putting up MVP numbers, D-Hop obviously doing what he does. Randall being a big piece, Randall Moore being a big piece in the Rondale Moore, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Rondell. Yeah. We had on the show also. Yeah,
he's been on the show being a very big piece in that offense as well. AJ, you know, being a possession receivers for him throughout drives. And defensively, you know, Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt, that speaks for itself.
No question.
What Byron Murphy's having
balling
so far. Buddha speaks for himself. See my man Jalen Thompson been having a great year as well. You know, it's a beautiful thing to see those guys finally putting it together, being under that system for, you know, 3 years now, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So guys know the system, understand the system, and just going out there playing fast. So it's good to see those guys out there flowing, and because I was there throughout that process, so it's good that it's finally starting to come together for those guys, and those guys playing some unbelievable football.
No doubt. Those are the awards. Defensively, T.J. Watt. Offensively, Cardinals, Kyler Murray. Keep the name alive. All Things Covered Award weekly. Let's see who gets it next week. Now it's time for 7 questions. 7 questions is where we get a chance to interact with you, the listeners and the viewers. If you want your question to be answered in the future, make sure you leave a question attached to a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And guess what? We may get to your question on the show. This lucky fan, his name is, or it could be he or she, at Irish LM. Question is for Pat Pete. What do you like most about being a Minnesota Viking so far?
The thing I like about being a Minnesota Viking so far, I just probably say like just the atmosphere here, you know, just being in the building, you know, just being around all the great football minds, You know, guys that, you know, that don't mind putting in the work each and every day for that one common goal. And it was the same thing in Arizona, but, you know, to have it here in Minnesota, you know, you kind of feel like you're a part of something special. And we got a good group of men here. The locker room's great.
Yep.
Coach staff is great. You know, the city has been awesome. The atmosphere in the U.S. Bank has been, you know, one of the best, if not the best I've been a part of. That skull chant still is, you know, top of the list. Just everything's just been nice, man. The weather is starting to make a turn now, so I'm starting to get a little nervous, but deal with it at this point.
No question. Thank you, at Irish LM, for that outstanding question. Hopefully Pat did his best in answering it. Now it's time for shout outs. We want to remind everyone that you can find us on Instagram at All Things Covered Pod. Make sure you find us, and guess what? You should follow us. Please follow us. Each week we give clues for our next guest, and the first person to guess correctly gets a follow and a shout out on the pod. This week, shout out to at DJ714 for correctly guessing Jared Cook, who we had on the show last week. Again, follow us at All Things Covered Pod for the very best content from the show.
That is it for this episode. Thanks to everyone for listening and watching. We'll be back again Thursday, where you can expect all things to be covered.
Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.